for us to be able to let you know if one of us gathered here ends up being infected. And so that will be happening. You probably won't even know. I may have to ask your names again, but I think I did pretty good. So it should be good. Prayer concerns by name are in your bulletin. Please take note of those. Updates will be part of a weekly emailed newsletter, which will begin tomorrow at the beginning of the week. We continue to pray for all those who are dealing with illness, with COVID, of any or any of its variants, for those who have died from this illness, those dealing with volcanoes and storms and injustice and fears of many, many kinds. Today is the second day we will be receiving our special offering for reconciliation, which gives each of us the opportunity to do what is right for one another. Let's prayerfully consider our gifts as we are able. A reminder that board meeting is scheduled for next Monday, October 11th at 7 p.m. As this will be my first official board meeting, I hope you will try to be present if you are indeed a member of the board. Also, the St. Pat's Meal Program is scheduled for the 14th of October, and we need 6 cakes as always. Please, if you can bake a cake, sign up today. My understanding is that someone makes sure that they get to where they need to go. I will be in the office generally from 9 to 12-ish, Monday through Thursday, but can always be reached via phone, text, or email. And again, I pray that this new beginning will indeed enrich all of us. And with that, let us turn our attention to God. In the midst of struggle and strife, God is with us. Even though many things in life hurt and disappoint us, God is with us. Come, bring your needs and wants to God, for God will hear our cries and restore our souls. Come, seek God's mercy and grace to heal our wounded souls. Praise be to God for mercy, peace, and hope. God who gathers into one all who yearn to feast with you and makes that celebration beam with the brightness that can overcome any gloom, reveal to us anew the calling you have placed upon your faithful people to serve the world with the tender compassion and peaceful justice of Jesus the Christ, in whose name we gather expectantly and in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thanks be to God for these words as they come to us
from this letter to the church at Ephesus. I think it's fitting that my first Sunday back with you on this new covenant basis as your minister is World Communion Sunday. The importance of this part of worship, of this table, has always been of great importance to me personally, and as I have moved along in my journey of faith, that importance, that emphasis has become even greater. As we work together over the next weeks and months and even years, this table hopefully will be central to all of our efforts as we become not just Karma Christian Church, but part of the whole family of faith gathered around the table of Christ. This table has always been at the forefront of what we believe as the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, calling all people who believe that Jesus is the Christ to come and feast here. Over 200 years ago, Thomas Campbell left his family and came to this new country, settling near Washington, Pennsylvania. Working on what was then called the Western Frontier, Thomas found himself in hot water with the church leaders of his synod, of which he was a part. Thomas, it seemed, was daring to preach and of all things serve communion to those who were not of his church. But preachers of any denomination were few and far between on that frontier, and so some 200 years ago, Thomas Campbell penned what is called the Declaration and Address, which among other things claimed that the Church of Christ is essentially, intentionally, and constitutionally one. Meanwhile, back in Scotland, Thomas's son, Alexander Campbell, and the rest of the family were preparing for communion. In those days, communion was held only once or twice a year, and it was a very solemn occasion, and it was usually very restricted. Only those approved by the clergy were allowed to consume the bread and wine. To be admitted to the Lord's table, one must pass examination by the ministers and elders of the church. So in the weeks before the sacrament was celebrated, individuals were examined to ensure that they understood and practiced the basics of their religion and that they led good lives. If an individual is found worthy, he or she was given a token which admitted them to the table. Those found unworthy were barred from the table, which quite often was literally fenced off from the rest of the church. On the day that communion was to be served, Alexander and his mother and the siblings that had been deemed worthy spent the day at church. I can imagine him taking his token from his pocket, turning it over and over in his hand. He was the last of his family to approach the table, and here only a few people were allowed to come to the table at a time. They would present their tokens, be seated, and then they would partake. Alexander made his way through the fence, approached the table, and he placed his token on it in front of him and watched as the elements were passed around the table. Before they got to him, he rose, and he turned, and he walked away. He would not participate in this holy and sacred meal when so many others were being turned away. When Alexander and the rest of the family finally made it to Pennsylvania, father and son shared what they had been working through. The issues of who's in and who's out, how they had been ministering to all people and offering this sacred feast at every gathering where two or three were gathered together, celebrating the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As disciples, even though we come to this table on a weekly basis, World Communion Sunday gives us a unique opportunity to take an intentional spiritual journey into the vision of Jesus. Just as he had prayed that his church would be one, even as he and God were one, we are called to be part of a single church. We have, as Paul says in this letter, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. It was this affirmation that drew Father Thomas and Son Alexander and even Barton Stone, the leaders of the movement which we now call the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, to abandon any human-made divisions built around names and doctrines in order to meld into oneness the body of Christ. Today, in the society that we have created for ourselves, there is precious little opportunity to experience that oneness with Christ. We work, we run, we study, we get chewed out, our refrigerator breaks down, our hairspray doesn't hold, there's not much time for the whole. So we hold on to this table for dear life because we know that we are gathered in an upper room with the chosen one of God and that he is breaking the bread and offering it to us. And hopefully at that point we learn something. We learn that the approach to holiness in the Christian faith is unique because holiness is not aloof. It's not high and lifted up. It's separate and apart and different. Suddenly we see that experience of the holy is not reserved for the mountaintop. It is found to be found here in the midst of life itself. What could be more common, more mundane, more everyday than supper? What is more basic than bread to eat and a cup from which to drink? Jesus took an event that we do every day of our lives and he said, look, this is holy. This is good. This table reminds us that our lives are not hopeless, disjointed pockets of time, but that through this table we are connected to Christ, who is our host here. And through Christ, we are connected to God. It is here that we get a foretaste of heaven, to be one with God in Christ as we seek to be one with each other. On this day, each one of us, those of us here, those around the world, those watching at home, and that great cloud of witnesses, all who have ever gathered around the table, and all who ever will, we're all kind of harnessed together. And that's right, and that's holy. We come because this experience is our foundation, and it is firm. We come because this experience opens our lives to the greatness and grace of God in our lives. We come because Christ has torn down the fences surrounding the table. Christ invites us, Christ loves us, and Christ wants us to experience that love and that grace and that faith. Only the love of Jesus can bring us to one faith. And in spite of all the arguments out there over whose faith is the right faith, it is all very simple. There is only one faith that is true faith, and that's the faith of Jesus. We cannot simply trust in God on our own, but Jesus did. We can't know what is really right and wrong, but Jesus did. We can't live perfect lives in relationship to God and the world, but Jesus did. We need not so much believe in Jesus, but we need to believe in God with Jesus. when we enter into the faith of Christ, we too have perfect faith. When we don't have the courage to go on another day, he's there beside us to urge us along. When we have lost the will to love, he's there loving us and stretching his hands out in sacrifice so that we can reach out and touch even those we find the hardest to love. We have one faith and one baptism because we have one Lord, Jesus Christ, who by his love has made us one with the church throughout the world, the church of today, the church of yesterday, and the church of tomorrow. When we come to the table, we transcend the limits of time and place, of life and death, of here and the hereafter. When we come to this table, we transcend the limits of ethnicity and politics, of gender and sexual preference, of color and background and education, of Gentile and Jew, of slave and free, all those limits that mortal minds have concocted for our own sense of individual importance. When we come to this table more than anything else, we transcend the limits of individuality. It's no longer my Lord, but our Lord. It's no longer my faith, but our faith. It's no longer my baptism, it's our baptism. It is not my table or your table to fence anyone out, because it is Christ's table. As we prepare to come to this table, as we prepare to enter into this journey of faith together as a church family, let us do so with our eyes wide open, discerning and recognizing the body of Christ, which is all around us and all around the world. For we are indeed one in Christ because of his love. Thanks be to God. Amen. In the unity of Christ with one Lord, one faith, one baptism, we are called to proclaim our faith, to say that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that we proclaim him Lord and Savior of our lives. It is a confession we make on God's urging. It is a confession we must choose to continue to make every day. If you are ready to make that good confession for the first time, if you willingly want to stand firmly with this heart of Christ's church, you are invited to come forward as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, even as we all recommit ourselves to Christ and his church.